Amen. Yeah, it really is an interesting process, translating and challenging. And, you know, some of the words that we have in our English language, I like to use where it talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Because I think it's pretty easy to see if you look up the Greek words and which words are translated into the English language, you have that one word, given by inspiration of God, five words out of one word in the Greek. And anyways, I think I've got that right. Did I say that right? Yeah. More on that later. We're going to go ahead and get into our lesson tonight on the family. And we are on lesson number 3 out of Your Family Part 1. So if you have a book, it would be page 8-3, week 8, day 3. And the memory verse for this is Genesis 2:24, which says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You once again for Your grace, for Your love and Your mercy, and Lord, for this opportunity we have to gather here and read and study from Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You do speak to our heart, open our understanding, and Lord, use us as You will for Your glory and honor. Lord, especially as we're studying about the home, the family, and marriage, Lord, give us understanding on this and use us to be fathers and husbands and mothers and wives and whatever, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever our position is and relationship to those around us. Lord, use us to be what we ought to be and how we ought to be. And Lord, that You will receive glory and honor in our lives. Lord, we thank You once again for Your grace and Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we looked at the first lesson was how did it begin? And we saw there in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 how God created everything, including Adam and Eve, man and woman. And then later He brought them together, and He in fact created Eve to be Adam's husband. Adam's wife. Get that backwards here. We read on lesson number 2 the purpose of marriage, and we saw in verse 18 of chapter 2 where God said says here, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." That word "meet" is has the meaning of suitable. We could use the word "adequate" in some cases as well. Before God even said that, we remember He was reading everything as we were reading chapter 1 and chapter 2, especially chapter 1, as He made the different things, and He said it was good. And it was good. And I don't remember how many times He said it was good. And then when He got to the end of the chapter, He said, "Behold, it was very good." And so it was pointed out to me that, I guess last Sunday evening, by someone, I won't tell you who that person is, except that he's not here this evening. And he said, "You know, I never noticed this before, but according to the Bible, everything was very good before woman was created." You ever thought about that one? Anyways, y'all can laugh back I'm guessing y'all probably know who it was that pointed that out to me. But anyways, so God created Adam and Eve, man and woman, and the purpose was, of course, in the verse he said it was not good that man should be alone. And he created a woman, Eve, for Adam, and to be a helpmeet. And then later we see the first wedding ceremony where God brought the two together. And our memory verse, in fact, is, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so we saw the purpose was their companionship. I don't remember all the key words under the purpose, but definitely companionship and to be a blessing to one another. And so now we're looking at the process of marriage, the process of marriage. And I'm going to try to be fast with this lesson. I'm going to do a lot of reading here, and I'll try to keep the commenting. Well, I don't know how much of a minimum I'll keep it to, but I am going to do a lot of reading here. So at the top of the page it says, now that we have addressed the priorities and purpose of marriage, we will discuss the process of marriage. A process is ongoing. It has a beginning and an end, but is more of a journey than a destination or event. Marriage is a process that starts with a wedding and biblically is to continue until death do us part. Our memory verse again, Genesis 2:24, gives an overview of the process of marriage and mentions three key parts of God's plan. And here are the three key parts: leaving, cleaving, and weaving. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving. So the first one is leaving. Leaving occurs when both partners leave their respective families and come together to form a new family. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. In reality, a wedding is the birth of a new family where roles and responsibilities change. The son becomes a husband. The daughter becomes a wife. And this new family moves out from under the direct authority of their parents to direct responsibility to God. Though we are to honor and listen to the wise counsel of parents throughout life, as Proverbs 23 and verse 22 states, our first priority and responsibility is to our spouse and children. And that is true. Listen, when two people get married, man and woman, they are to leave their father and their mother. Amen. And they become a family. They become a single unit. And their priorities is with one another. Now, we already mentioned that you can't leave God out. You can't have a successful marriage if you leave God out. You've got to have God in your marriage. So that's the leaving part, all right? So you have leaving. Number two is cleaving. And cleaving is coming together as husband and wife through a covenant similar to, but far more binding than, modern legal contracts or oaths. We're talking about the covenant here. And the terminology again is, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. So this covenant is not only to each other, but is also to God and is for life. The wedding vows that are repeated before God and witnesses lay out the terms of the covenant. As with any agreement, it is binding upon both parties, husband and wife. Now, let me just state here the design of the family at the beginning was one man, one woman for life. That's the way God designed it. Adam and Eve, one man, one woman for life. We see others in the Bible, and I know that there are also illustrations, instances in the Bible where we see that there were some families, men who took more than one wife. But God never said that was okay. He never did. He never said that was okay. He allowed it, but it was never the design. And when you read about these families, by the way, you read that they had a lot of problems. Take David, for example, a man after God's own heart. But he took more than one wife, so he had children from more than one wife. And his children had problems with one another. They really did. Anyways, and Jesus also was asked the question by the Pharisees concerning writing Moses giving a bill of divorcement. And for the hardness of their hearts, Jesus said, Moses allowed them to have a bill of divorcement. And so I know that happens in I think it's over 50% of marriages in the United States end in divorce. And that's a sad thing. But what do you do when that does happen? And I don't want to get into a whole lot of all the details of divorce. And I just want to say this, that there, if a person does get a divorce and remarried, there's got to be some grace. We got to give the person some grace and move on from there, especially if they have repented of it. But it's not, I don't believe we should ask them to divorce who they're with now to remarry who they were with before. And again, I don't want to get a whole lot into that, except to say this, that when we talk about this marriage covenant, this vow, and the promise that a man and a woman make to one another when they get married, you know what that promise excludes? Other women and other men. You read over the marriage vows and you're promising yourself to one person for life, and you've got to honor that with the person that you are with and move on from there and love your spouse, love your wife, your husband, whatever the case is, and cleave to one another. And again, this verse, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. So this is a binding agreement both with the man and the woman and with God as well. So we have the leaving, the cleaving, and the third part is the weaving. And this is a very important part. Weaving is becoming one and takes time and effort. Becoming one, and it does take time and effort. And it may not be as much effort with some married couples as it is with others. But let me just say this. If you're careful with who you marry, and I know that there's a lot of adults in here that are already married, but there's also children in here that one day will be getting married. And we need as adults to know how to encourage others and how to counsel others concerning what the Bible says about marriage. So weaving is becoming one. The verse again, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's been said that the most difficult years of the marriage are those after the wedding. I don't know if that's true. Well, I know there's a play on words right there, but all the years. But you know what? They're blessed years. They're wonderful years. And I know that may not be true with every marriage, But it can be. It can be. And with the young people, and my son's not here tonight, but he's exhausted. When we left, he was sound asleep. He's been working hard this summer. We just told him, just get sleep and get your rest. But, you know, with our young people, not only those that are here with us, but even our neighbors, those that are growing up in schools today, high school, junior high, and high school, and whatever the case is, you know what they need to understand? How important marriage is. And that is lost in society. And the covenant of marriage doesn't hardly mean anything in a lot of circles. And I haven't kept up with the public school system in quite some time now. But when I was in it, I don't remember any importance being placed on marriage. I really don't. I remember them giving sex education classes. I never was a part of them. Didn't want to be. But in everything that was said from the other kids, there's nothing about marriage. You know, you look at what's going on and the things that they're teaching. Anyways, the only time that they want to bring marriage into the picture is when they want to destroy it, when they want to redefine it. But they don't want to talk about what it really is. But anyways, marriage is important, and who a person marries is very, very important. It is, in fact, a life decision. So the weaving is the wonderful process of learning to know each other, accepting each other, and fulfilling each other's needs, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Becoming one is a lifelong process and must be a top priority in your daily time if your marriage is to be all that God intended it to be. Now, I do want to look at a couple verses here. In the illustration section of this lesson, it's titled Weaving a Marriage. And it starts with Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 4. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. And it says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And there's three points in this illustration, and I want to look a couple more verses up for you. I'm trying to bring them up on my phone here. The first one is 1 Peter 3:7. And that's listed in the first point here. The first step in weaving a marriage or becoming one is knowledge. You need to know your spouse. This only comes with regular, intimate communication with your spouse. And here's what the verse says. It says here, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them being your wife, your wives, talking about to husbands, so talking to wives, know your wife according to knowledge. Okay? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now it goes on, it says here, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now there's a lot packed into this verse. Often when this verse is preached, at least one of the things that I've heard over the years that kind of gets emphasized a little bit is that the wife is the weaker vessel. And then we talk about Adam and Eve and how Adam was deceived and, how Eve was deceived and not Adam. And there's a lot that we could look at on that. But I want to point out something here that I think is equally important. And it says here, giving honor unto the wife. Because we often hear the preaching that, you know, the wife is to honor and reverence her husband. But this verse right here says, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. All right, you want to have a sweet relationship with one another. And in order to do that, you need to know one another. And in order, as you learn about one another, and there are some other verses I want to look up as well. Proverbs 12 and verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceived. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver. It's verse 4 that I wanted to see there. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A crown to her husband. And, you know, you all have probably heard the saying, behind every successful man is a woman. I can't remember exactly how the saying goes. But you know what? A husband and wife are a team. A partnership. They are one, in fact. As the Bible says, the two become one. You look out for one another. You love one another. You take care of one another. I could give you some examples of my wife and I. I don't know if she'd want me to tell you what she did just a couple days ago. You want me to share that with her? I don't know if she minds. I can't hear what you said, but I hurt myself on a job a couple days ago. And so her and Asa went and finished that job in my place. I didn't necessarily want her to go do that, but she was willing to do it. And she, I believe you were careful and let the others. We had some other guys on the job as well, so she didn't do the heavy lifting. But you know, I look out for her. And there's times where she's not feeling well or has different health problems, and I do what I can to take care of her. There are certain roles that God has given a husband and that God has given a wife. And the wife, the Bible says, is to be the keeper at home. But that doesn't mean that I, as her husband, can't help her in that area whenever she needs it. And, you know, the virtuous woman goes on in chapter 31 and verse 10, says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This proverb goes on and talks about all the different things that the virtuous woman does. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She buys and sells. I mean, there's a whole list of what Solomon's mom is telling Solomon of what he needs to find in a wife. Now, that I've always found that to be interesting. It's not a real woman. She is describing a virtuous woman. Maybe there are some women, and maybe you husbands feel this way about your wives. I certainly feel like my wife is a virtuous woman. But as far as all this list of everything that is said here, this is not talking about a particular woman, but a description of what a virtuous woman is and all the things that she does. Verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. You hear that? The husband of a virtuous woman praiseth her. And so back Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I'm not trying to say in any stretch of the imagination to reverse roles. That's not what I'm saying at all. The husband is still to be the head of the house. Amen? The husband is still to lead his family. But when the two become one, then the wife also understands that both of them together are serving the Lord and going in a particular direction, the direction God wants them going in. And they help one another. And they raise their children together when children come into the picture. And they are a blessing to one another. So the first step in weaving or becoming one is that knowledge, knowing your mate. And so you've got to have communication and spend time with one another. Number two is the second step is to understand God's principles governing the marriage relationship. This only comes with Bible study. It is so important for a married couple, a husband and wife, to read the Bible. Read it individually, read it together. When children come into play, read it as a family. My wife and I, we did a whole lot more Bible reading together before we had children, as far as just her and I. Now we do our Bible reading with the entire family, and then we do our individual Bible reading as well. But listen, in reading your Bible and getting closer to God, you will become closer to one another. You will. And understanding the different roles in marriage as well. So there, you've got to be reading your Bible. And being in church, that comes into play as well. And hearing the Word of God being read and preached. So the third and last one is wisdom. And that is the ability to apply God's marriage principles in daily life. This only comes through prayer and putting Bible principles into practice. And so we see here the process, leaving, cleaving, and then weaving. The two become one. Memory verse again, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The thought for this lesson is that you think you know someone until you marry them. Get to know them better by getting to know God better. And you know, we're constantly learning about one another. And throughout the course of life, different experiences and different challenges and struggles. And you'll constantly be learning different things about one another. And sometimes our, you know, things change and our own likes and dislikes and things like that. But get to know one another. This is true for those of us who are already married and have been married a while. I got my math backwards the last time I mentioned how long my wife and I have been married. 18 years. We've been married 18 years. It's going on this October will be 18, or this October will be 18 years. And my son Asa will be 17 in October, right? Yeah, he'll be 17 in October. But it's been 18 wonderful years, and we're still constantly learning about one another, and things do change. And I remember telling Kai way back early on. Maybe even before we got married. I can't remember if it was before or after, but you know, I remember mentioning to her one time that things will change. You know, things aren't always going to be the same. Things will change because that's just how life is. But our love will always be the same, and we'll grow stronger we can love each other and work through any challenges that we face in life. So the leaving, cleaving, and then weaving, and the living it part, if you are or plan to be married, discuss with your spouse or spouse-to-be where you think you are in the process of marriage, and discuss the more difficult aspects of weaving together as one. There's a lot of different ideas on dating, and a lot of different books that are written concerning dating, and a lot of bad advice out there, in my opinion, and I believe we could look at scripturally as well on dating, and even amongst what we would find in a Christian bookstore, and even a few independent Baptist churches that I've been in that were a little bit bigger churches and had a bookstore in their church, and I've looked at some of the books they had on dating, and I can't agree with everything that they were saying in there. Let me just say this, and this is what I tell my children, and this is what I practiced with whenever I was trying to get to know, when I was praying for a wife, and that is that when if you're trying to get to know someone, if you already know that marriage is not going to work, that you're not compatible, then don't pursue it any further. Just don't pursue it any further, because if there's already indications there, maybe they believe totally different on certain things that you cannot and will not change on, and or maybe whatever the case is, don't pursue it any further. And whenever you're getting to know someone, and this is what I would tell my children, as you get to know them, keep each other pure and keep God in it. My wife and I know I've already shared this with you, but we spoke on the phone a lot because it was kind of long distance, you know, about a 2-hour drive between us. But we discussed everything. I mean, we literally, I know there's still things that, and we didn't literally discuss everything, but we discussed what marriage is. We discussed our beliefs on, we covered salvation first, and then we even talked about the church, what we believe the church is, and where we're going to go to church, how we're going to raise our children, do we want to have children, will we put them in a Christian school or a public school or homeschool them. We talked about all these things, and I fell in love with her. I believe God brought us together because we were in agreement on all of these things. And I know I've shared this story with a lot of people. I can't remember if I've shared it openly here, but I fell in love with her, and I was a little afraid to tell her that I had. I don't remember how many days went by before I told her, but we were on the phone, and before we were about to hang up, I said, "I just want to tell you I love you." And I said, don't say anything back. You don't feel like you have to say anything back, but I just want to let you know I love you." And she didn't say anything back. She left me hanging for 24 hours. And so the next day, I called her, and we were talking, and then when we were hanging up, I told her again, "I love you." And she said, "I love you too." I was like, "Yeehaw!" I was happy. And so it wasn't too long after that that, I asked her to marry me. And we had set a date for a year out. And we got to thinking, well, why does it have to be a year out? And so we kept moving it forward. And then we eventually moved it forward to as soon as we thought we could reasonably move it forward and still give people a chance to come that wanted to come to our wedding. So we met in June, and we got married in October. Now, that's not that long, but we knew the Lord was in it. And we discussed everything about the Lord. We read the Bible together over the phone. I can't stress how important that is. And we want to be able to give this kind of counseling to young people. Not just our own, but others that might come into our church, that we might come across. Because let me tell you something, they are not getting this kind of counseling in the public schools. They are not. The counseling that they're getting in public schools is causing them to make decisions that are life decisions, and then they are going to have to deal with those decisions for the rest of their life. And the memory verse again, and we're going to close with this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's Genesis 2 and verse 24. And brother, we're not going to have a song tonight. We're just going to go ahead and close in prayer. Because I've already gone over a little bit. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. And